I've come to a conclusion that I'm allergic to this place. Every time I walk in, I'm fine all day long. And I walk in here and just start sneezing, nose running, all that stuff. But I'm going to be here anyway. So I'm going to endure it. I will manage, and hopefully y'all will endure it too. Anyway, that's why I keep my hot water with me, and got cough drops up here, and so I'm set. I'm ready to go. All right, tonight the lesson is called, What is Your Value? And we'll go through this lesson. It's a very simple one. Do we provide any value to anybody? And that's a question we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis. And of course, if you start thinking in other areas of life, you're going to see how important this lesson really is. So how much are we worth? And of course, how much do we think we are worth? And a lot of us think we're worth quite a bit, especially when it comes to when you go to talk to your boss, hey, I'm worth a whole lot more than you're paying me. And so we sometimes do that, and we sometimes go through the same grind all the time every day and say, hey, I've been doing this a long time, haven't gotten a raise in a while, so maybe I'm worth more than this. But let's look at that. There are so many ways we could begin this subject, so many ways we could talk about it. Whenever we speak of value, most of the time we are speaking of monetary value, because that's what most of people in the world understand. It's the bucks. The almighty dollar runs everything in this society. If you don't believe me, just try taking some of theirs away and see what happens. And so, yes, the dollar kind of runs our world. But we also understand what has value with one person may carry no value for another person. See, pictures of your grandmother have value to you, but not to me. You can understand that. And, of course, I'll say this right now. Everybody, after they've had a birth in the family, want to show me a picture of the kid. The kid is ugly. Kid that comes out of the womb is ugly. Except your own and your own grandchildren. Now that's the only difference. Every other kid I've ever seen, just as ugly as all get outs, but your own child, your own grandchildren, beautiful. So that, let's just get that out of the way right now. All right, that does not dismiss your grandmother's value or your baby's value and how you treasure them. So we understand that. Value, we also place value on things. We can probably sit down and start a list, and every piece of furniture we have, we can put a value on it. Every article of clothing, we can put a value on it. And every piece of jewelry we have, we can put a value on it. Our property and our cars and things like that. I mean, that's basically, if something happened, we call the insurance company, and okay, I've got all this stuff and I've got all this value I've just lost. So we have to place a value on things. And so, but there's also some things that you place a value on that you would not want to let go. And of course, some of these might be little trivial things. If I came into your house and started picking up things and throwing them in the trash can, you might get upset with me. Don't know what it is. It might be a little rock that you picked up in some national park somewhere when you took your kids on vacation. That has value to you. You don't want to get rid of that. And so you want to hang on to it, and you'd be upset with me. And you would have every right to be upset with me, because I may not see the value in something that you might treasure. Incidentally, the Ecclesiastes writer pretty much said the same thing. What's going to happen to this stuff when you're gone? You're going to leave it to somebody. What they do with it, you have no control over. And so just remember, your children, your grandchildren are going to be cleaning up your mess when you get done. I mean, you picked up their mess for plenty of years. They're going to be cleaning up your mess. So a synonym of value is worth. What are you worth? And remember the two short parables in Matthew 13, 44 through 46? Says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, the treasure in a field and the pearl of great value. There's so much value that the people in these stories gave all that they had to acquire it. And of course, we know what this represents, the kingdom of heaven, the hope of heaven. I mean, there so much should be so much value there that we would give up all for it. We would give up our time. We would give up our what we consider our treasures. We would give up of ourselves. That's what Paul told the Philippians. You gave first of yourselves. And so these were treasures to these people, and the value was costly, but it was worth it to them. Now consider the value of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Verse 10, it says, her value is far above jewels. And if you read from the King James Version, it says, her worth is far above rubies. So what amount of riches would you take to give up your child or spouse or parent? We hear of situations like this. Somebody sold their kid. They didn't want to deal with their kid, so they sold the kid to somebody. I know in parts of this world, they sell their kids to get money and turn their kids into slave laborers and things like that. But if someone offered you that, would you consider any amount for your loved ones? I mean, if they offer you $10, $1,000, well, maybe $1 million. What would you think about that? You might trade in your brother for $1 million, wouldn't you? You probably would, and probably not feel any grief about that at all. But anything less than that, I probably shouldn't do that. While some people in this world would take the time to consider such an offer, most people would reject it. Family comes first, right? For most people. Just how often do you consider the value of a friend? And that's something we need to look at, and we should all be friends in here. And what is their value to you? What is your value to them? Is there anyone who values you as a friend? Hopefully, the answer is yes. But there are some people who are loners. They don't consider themselves a friend to anybody, and they don't have any friends, and there are people like that. But is there anyone you value as a friend? Someone that you can put your trust in? And know that if you call them up and said, hey, I need help, I need to talk, I've got something on my mind, I need to get it off, would they be there for you? And so sometimes they are the same person, sometimes they are different people. You can count on one person for one thing, but another person you have to rely upon that might be a different person. So do you ever consider your own worth? And a lot of us, what am I worth? Sometimes if we're humble enough, we're going to say, well, I'm not worth a whole lot. But when you consider how other people look at you, are you worth a lot? In the business world, this is a phrase that is often applied to employees. But sometimes they use different terminology. But anyway, it's still the same idea. An employee must have value. To keep that employee, they must have value. Now, value to who? Well, primarily, the boss. Got to have value for them. Do they do anything for the boss? That's important. See, as we know from experience, a person does not give someone a job unless there's a job needs doing. I mean, sure, there are some nice people out there. They give needy people jobs. But yet, there are some expectations placed upon them. You're just going to sit down here. Can you imagine walking into a business and say, okay, you sit down in this chair. You don't do anything for 8 hours. I'm going to pay you for 8 hours. Can you imagine how great a job that would be when you think about it? I'd be bored out of my skull. I don't know about you, but I would not like that. And the generosity, okay, maybe the money, I'll endure it because of the money. Have you ever heard of a boss doing something like that? No. Boss says, I'm going to give you a job. Now, I need you to go down the basement, clean out the whatever. I mean, dirty jobs. Usually the new employees get the dirty jobs. And so, yes, there is a need. And so that's when that takes place. Reality suggests that most jobs are offered to people because something needs to be done. Whatever it might be. You know, in the business world, if you do not perform your task in a timely manner and produce a value to your boss, the reality is you may not have your job very long. You know, in sports, an athlete is given a huge contract. Such contract is not to sit around and collect a paycheck, although some of them do, right? And it's offered because of the value the athlete can give to the team and the owner. and of course the fans. They expect this. An athlete does really good, the fans pay him what he's worth. Yeah, we want to keep this guy. But how many times have we seen a star player negotiate a huge contract and then become a mediocre player? Have you ever seen that? Oh yeah, happens quite a bit. Probably more than they would like to say. It does happen quite a bit. When a player performs and helps the team to win, that player is of value to the owner, the team, and the fans. They want to win. That's right. So that person is valuable to them. The player that does not perform is a waste, and most of those mentioned above would just as soon get rid of the poor producer. That salary he's making can go to pay some pretty good athletes. And so we don't have to pay him that $100 million contract when we get a few athletes at maybe a couple hundred thousand dollars each. So you see how this is working out, how a person has to perform in order to have value. Now in Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, and he began telling this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he, the vineyard keeper, answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it, put fertilizer, and if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, we'll cut it down." See, the fig tree had no value if it did not produce fruit. And thus the ground it was occupying had no value. Now, I can relate to that. When I moved into my house down in Houston, my parents brought me some cuttings from some plum trees. And so we planted them, and they started to grow. After about 3 years, all of a sudden, these things started blooming. I got excited. I was going to have plums. And so that year, I kept checking, no plums. The next year, it came out and buds again and blossoms. And you guessed it, no plums. And for 4 years, I kept checking that tree, and I never got a plum off of it. Then Tropical Storm Francis came through and blew them down. I did not shed a tear, and you can understand why. They were wasting. They were wasting the ground that they were in. That could have been used. I could have put something else in there. And so we understand that. So the idea of getting rid of something that is not producing is something that really we have no problem with. And so the question is, are you that fig tree? Are you producing anything? And now this is where we need to look at ourselves. Am I producing anything? Notice that the vineyard keeper in this parable, Jesus, still offers to assist the fig tree to become valuable. See, there's none of us that's beyond hope. We're beyond help. So we have to help each other. Even if we get up to an older age, there's still things we can do for others. We can be valuable to them. And though we may not be standing in the pulpit preaching the message to people, you can still talk and counsel the younger people. See, Titus 2 talks about that. The older men to teach the younger men, the older women teach the younger women. And how to do things and how to live in this life. And so when we compare this to Hebrews 5:12, "For by this time you ought to be teachers." See, even God says, "Okay, I want you to start producing." Now, starting off, yes, things are going to go a little slow. Just like if you take on a new job, you got to sit there and get the lay of the land, figure out what's going on. And then all of a sudden, someday down the road, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months, you're going to say, "Man, I actually knew what I was doing today." And it's a good feeling when you, okay, I'm getting the hang of this. And so we do that. The question is, do you produce anything of value for God? Now, spiritually speaking, do we have value? And yes, Matthew 16:26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So God considers we have value. The Holy Spirit considers we have value. And so what is our soul worth? Well, I know what it costs. How about the death of Jesus? That's what your soul is worth to God, the death of Jesus. That is what God considers your soul to be worth. Now, if he places that much value on it, don't you think you ought to take care of it? Yes, he gives these things to us, and he's going to take care of us if we give him the opportunity. So God has provided you with everything you need to be productive for him. Everything we need concerning life and eternal salvation, 2 Peter 1:3. He has granted it to us. Now, what do we do with it? Well, some of us use it, some of us don't. So are you taking advantage of these tools that God has given us? And then are you active for the Lord? Well, I go to church every Sunday. I mean, a lot of people say that, right? But are they living for the Lord? See, it's one thing to call yourself a Christian. It's another thing to be a Christian. And you have to know the difference. And we should know the difference. A lot of people don't. They think once they've been baptized, man, I'm a Christian, I'm set for life, I'm okay. And that's not really the case. When we study God's Word, at least, we figure that out. Now, if you don't study God's Word, you just kind of stay ignorant your whole life. And of course, we know that can be a problem as well. Now, how are you active for the Lord? Everyone must realize that just sitting on a pew and putting some dollars in the collection plate is not producing value for God. Now, some people probably feel that, well, that should be enough. Some people might have the idea that, well, hey, I showed up, everybody. Look at me. I showed up. And give me an award. Give me a gold star on the wall or something is what they're looking for. You know, we did that for the kids and in the Bible class. And the kids show up, they get a gold star under their name. And, yeah, they want the gold stars. Do people actually act that way sometimes? As long as they show up, they get the gold star, and they've done their duty to God. You know, I used to have this thing on the board in Madisonville when I preached there. I said, being in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. Now, that's true. Just being in church does not make you a Christian. You have to take what we learn here and apply it to your life. And so we have to produce value. Just because we come to church doesn't make us a Christian. What produces value for God are those who serve him and seek to do those things that can save souls. You're going to hear this theme from me throughout. As long as I'm preaching here, this is going to be our number one emphasis is the saving of souls. I mean, that's the purpose we're here, right? To help each other get to heaven. That is our job. And that's what we need to continuously remind ourselves. We're here to save souls. And if we're not doing anything to save souls, does God need us? Do we produce any value for God if we're not helping people save their souls? The answer is no. You remember what they did about the fig tree that basically did not produce fruit for the Lord? He said, cut it down. One time he rebuked it and it just died and withered right there. The other times, cut it down, throw it into the fire, as the landowner said. I mean, that's another way. I mean, that fig tree was his own. It's something that he planted. He had great expectations from that. And it wasn't there. Question is, how long are you going to go without helping people get to heaven before God says, I have no need of you? That's going to be determined at your death. When you stand before the Lord, that's going to be determined then. So teaching the gospel is one thing you can do. And everybody can do it. They may not be as eloquent as a great gospel preacher, but all of us know the plan. The five-step plan, simple enough, that should give us serve as a guide and then help people understand what that means. I mean, that's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel in a nutshell. And so we can do that. Everything the Lord commands us to do for one another provides a valuable service to him. When we are actively engaged with each other for encouragement, for love, comfort, sorrow, development, we are valuable to God. Every one of these is found in the scriptures with the following words: one another. You love one another. Comfort one another. You sorrow with one another. You develop, you build, you encourage, you edify, you admonish. All of these things we do for one another. And so when we're taking care of each other, when we are nice to each other, when we are helping them get the cobwebs out of their life or get the problems out of their life, when we're helping them do that, we are helping their soul get to heaven. And because of that, God considers us valued. So, as a Christian, are you like the star athlete who performs? Or are you like the one who everyone wants to get rid of? There's so many different ways that we can be valuable. And there are things we hold as valuable, even if it is valuable only to us. We hang on to them things. There's some things I just don't want to let it go. Then your buddy's going to get on his app, say, let it go, and somebody's going to want to buy it. But still, there's some things we don't want to let go. They hold sentimental value for us. But it really, it's only for us that it has that sentimental value. Our spouse may not even understand that. They just see a piece of junk. Get rid of this thing. But it has value to me. Some of you probably have an old t-shirt that you've had since high school. Some of you may not fit in that t-shirt, but you hang on to it anyway, right? So anyway, there are some things that we hold valuable to ourselves. In the real world, there's not much we have which most would consider valuable. But if we are valuable to God, none of that other stuff will matter. I mean, that's a very important lesson to learn and hold on to and consider: what is your value? So that's our lesson for this evening. We're going to go